And so, Fernando, I just wanted to say that we have now formally have the three new members, Victor, Paulus, and Suleiman. So you should have formally welcome them.
Okay, excellent. Victor, Paulus, and Suleiman, once again, thank you for joining this study group. As you know, we've done some work prior to the Prague meeting. We to provide a report on the first half of what the study group was tasked for. So now we are working on the second half of the task, and we welcome your input and your contributions. Given that there's a lot of things that will still need to be done for the second half of the group, we may not be able to have it ready by the Toronto meeting, but we will do as much as we can and then present what we have at such time, and most likely this will go into the this will extend beyond the Toronto meeting. So I think the only person we're waiting for is Dottie, right? So maybe we can go ahead and start, given that we have this this other conference call starting shortly after us. Once again, I just wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance to see the list of questions that were sent a couple of weeks ago, and also the document that Bart drafted in terms of the different ways that work is brought into the CCNSO group. Bart is on the
phone. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, in case somebody has a question for that. So I think maybe the best way to do is to see if anybody had any questions related to the set of questions that were sent, that we can start the discussion on those questions. And additionally, if there are some questions that you think are missing out of the list that was sent out, we can definitely add them to the list of questions in terms of what the second phase of the study group needs to do. Okay, so maybe then if there are any additional questions, we can add them in the later part of the call, but maybe we can go ahead and start and try to have some discussions related to the questions, and I'll go one by one and ask for feedback and if you can let us know if you had any thoughts related to those questions. So the first question that we have related to what we're supposed to be doing is, what are the dynamics behind the increasing workload? Does anybody have any input or any feedback or any additional questions that related to that?
I think Bart, I think you probably are the best one who has you have a good overview on where all the requests come from.
Yes.
You sent, so maybe you can say a few words on that, so that people
yes.
know what the problem
yeah, maybe
is.
Because that say and in fact there are two, or I would say three, major categories of work. Say first of all, it's the sources or where it comes from is say issues discussed during the CCNSO meetings, or which pop up as a result of discussion somewhere, is that we start working groups. Say these are most of the times issues which are of direct interest for the CCTLD community. And I think that's captured, I hope it's captured in this framework. So examples are, for instance, the say the framework of interpretation working group, CCTLD contributions, and say other working groups like the, say from the past, the delegation work, or not the DOD, but the incident response working group, etc. So these are, say, brought up through the community, and end up in a kind of working group. So that's one major piece of work, and most of the time it's considered important but not directly urgent, and that's why we can use working groups. A second one is, and is probably policy development. Say there is one in the pipeline, that's the policy development process on retirement of CCTLDs, but that will be initiated once the Framework of Interpretation Working Group has concluded its work and has been time to monitor the implementations of its recommendations. But these are very long-term examples, and the second one is, say, which is currently running, is the IDN-CCPDP, which is also a very long-term process. But these are, say, very, how should I put it, time-consuming, and, say, as experience has shown in say, with the first one, it's the ultimate way of organizing this, the work of the CCNSO, because it's very structured, very long-term, and has a huge impact on CCTLDs and on ICANN itself. So fortunately, we have been able to avoid policy development processes as much as possible, but in some case, we have to. And I think a third major source of work comes, and this is where probably we lack good processes, although we are improving, but also is where we, as a CCNSO, where we run into the issue of timing and the duration of some of the responses. These are the input and on say requests of other SOs and ACs. So that's one, and from ICANN staff, and statements of the CCNSO, say, and the sources of these are, say, other SOs and ACs, ICANN staff, and the ICANN board. And it's very clear that, say, if you look at, say, the number of requests from the, especially from the ICANN board to provide feedback and input, so in the format of a CCNSO position or statement, it's probably, if you run through statistics, we've only done 1 out of 10, and most of the time it's a matter of duration, or it's not, say, there was no time for the council to consider whether to provide input or not. And say, with the increasing complexity, my guess is that this number will increase.
There is an echo.
Oh, let me check.
And if we all start laughing, then we have a very nice echo.
I'm asking the operator to look into this.
So, this sounds better. So to recap a bit, so you got these different sources of request sources for activities of the CCNSO and the CCTLD community. So I think we're reasonably good in organizing and moving forward on the activities requested by the CCTLD community itself, and as a result of council discussion. So that's creation of working groups. As soon as it comes to requests from the outside world, it's first of all, I think that we still need to improve the processes to deal with these requests. And secondly, because there is a lot of them, you say we need, as a CCNSO, we need to figure out ways to discriminate between the ones that we want to respond on, and secondly, those who we think are not directly of importance for the CCNSO. And therefore, we acknowledge the receipt, but they put on the back burner, and then you run into the issue of even if we think it's important enough to warrant some reaction, etc., whether we have the capacity and whether we have does it fit within the time frames that, say, for instance, a CCNSO statement takes? Say, most of you, at least you've seen the material from the council call, maybe with the exception of Andre, but say a CCNSO statement itself, even a CCNSO council statement, will take at least 5 weeks from, say, the point in time when we become aware of a request, until, say, the CCNSO Council can decide upon a draft, because that will take, say, creation of a drafting team. They need to come together, start drafting, and then it needs to go to the Council decisions. And if it's going to be a full CCNSO statement, then the community needs to be consulted as well. And that's, again, you just add 1 or 2 weeks to the whole time frame. So you're stuck with 6 or 7 weeks. And if you look at the public comment periods of some of these requests, or, say, the dates when input is due, it sometimes is 45 days as of the moment of publication, or even less. So currently, I think the minimum period is 42 days, and then you should be aware. So that means if you map the two timelines, you should be aware and decide upon providing a statement, etc., as of the moment it becomes public, and then have a drafting team ready who can start working directly in order to meet that deadline of 42 days. So that's an area where, say, the current processes do not map. And the second question is, if you look at the increasing number of these requests, say, from other SOs and ACs, from ICANN staff, and from the board, this is where we have a serious problem.
Thank you, Mark, for that. And I think you had mentioned that this is probably the type of request, the ones that come from the outside that require our feedback or acknowledgement or response, is probably going to be increasing.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and this is based on, on the recent meeting in Prague, just before the Prague meeting. It became very clear that, say, at least for me, but probably for you as well, that, say, just before the Prague meeting, say 2 or 3 weeks before the Prague meeting, a lot of public forums opened, a lot of input was requested from ICANN staff, and that's a category I haven't included, but probably that will increase as well, where the CCNSO is requested, either the council itself or the CCTLD community or the CCNSO community to provide volunteers and to participate in some of these initiatives. And we, I'd say the secretariat will send out these requests for volunteers, but what I've noted is there is hardly any, if you look at it, there's hardly any volunteer who is willing to step in. Only if we approach people directly sometimes, it becomes, so for whatever reasons you see that they step in. I think Sokol, you're a very good example with this outreach initiative. So that's probably a fourth category, and this will be increasing as the number of projects ICANN is undertaking and the number of issues relating to new GTLDs and others and IDNs is increasing.
Okay. But hi, Bart, I have a question here. I'm reading the document you kindly prepared for us.
Yeah.
Framework of the designing activity of CCNSO, phase one, topic identification.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good summary. Look at the first row, originator.
Yeah.
Well, you're summarizing to 8 categories. That's a very interesting study. Actually, I try to map this 8 category with what you mentioned just now, the three types of works. So firstly, I'm suggesting probably we can do some rough analysis of these works originated from different sources. Whether this is more requests from external sources, as you said, from the board or the SOCACs, this is increasing. Is the primarily reason or dynamics for increasing our workload, or the internal demand, such as this because the IDN PDP, the framework interpretation, this is a purely...
IDN is not a purely CCNSO issue. But anyway...
No, but say, Hong, but this is IDN CCTLDs. What you see is because you've got IDN CCTLDs, and this is probably where Fernando was heading as well, at the end of the day, a TLD is a TLD.
Sorry about that. Now I know there's a P2P, IDN P2P is for IDN.
Yeah.
Okay, that's of course a CCNSO issue. So my question is that is it possible to do some rough analysis to see which part, the internal origination or external request, is the primary reason for this increasing workload? So we can answer the following question, how to allocate our resources to address these needs.
The second
question is actually also about this originator. There's a request for PDP.
Yeah.
Well, as far as I know, the PDP is an internal-driven process. Is this request by the board?
It could be.
Oh, it could be. Okay.
It's like within the GNSO. At the end of the day, it could say if you go to the PDP, the originator of a PDP could be the board, it could be the membership of the CCNSO, it could be a regional organization, it could be the council, and the fifth one is another SOAC.
Oh, okay. Then back to you.
Yeah, but going back to your point about the analysis, what do you mean by analysis? Just have go back in time, say, for over a year and look at the board resolutions where we were requested to do stuff and in which we didn't, where there was a public forum, just naming the public forum and in which we responded, analysis like this?
Well, but it just as we talk about just now, it seems our immediate feeling is that such requests are increasing indeed. For example, recently CISO was asked by the board to comment on the changing GNSO structure because of the new GTLD applications. So this is a typical issue. It is on GTLD and it's a request from the board. So this kind of requests are increasing. So I think it does not have to be 1 year, maybe a few months, just select. Compare with the period, compare with the other period, we can see that it is increasing these requests.
Yeah, but maybe it's a good idea to say in this area around from, say, a month before the Prague meeting until now, and then go back 1 year and count the numbers as well.
Well, that's good.
So do it, it's a bit of a statistical comparison of the numbers of requests, and I think depends a bit how long we have this info alert, SOAC alert list, because that's a very good one where, say, all these requests are noted. Gabby, do you think that's feasible?
Yes, but I don't think the info alert list has been around that long, but I can have a look.
Yeah, but it's that's say don't put in say if we shouldn't put in too much effort, but just do a preliminary statistical analysis of say the number of requests say just before the Prague meeting and maybe just before the so that's the info alerts list and then the say the public forum around that time, because that's fairly easy to do as well. It's not about statistical validity of the data, but it's more to get a sense of the increase in workload over time. Is that where you're heading, Hong?
Oh yes, exactly. Well, it could be a rough analysis. Only as you said, it's only to gauge the general picture.
Yeah.
Of that business
we connect. We can actually ask Felice might already have statistics about this.
Yeah, so we it shouldn't be too much of an effort. It shouldn't take a full week to get the data sorted out. But I think you're right, Hong. It's I'm talking about, say, my experience, but that's biased, as you always, yeah, that's always the issue, isn't it?
But I agree, Bart.
Yeah.
Hey, Bart, I have a question.
Oh.
Go ahead. I'll hold my question.
Okay, Paulos here.
Yes, Paulos.
Okay, I also had a question with respect to this work and the work that we've been doing on the work plan, on the CCMSO work plan.
Yeah.
As well as the work that we did some time back on the CCMSO guidelines.
Yeah.
For the last few days, I've been thinking that these issues are very much related, the work plan, the workload, and the guidelines that we have. I don't know if... I'm new to the group. I don't know if an analysis has been made to relate these two and maybe to consider having a second look at the work plan because that's a workload issue as well as the guidelines on how we deal with the various issues. I don't know if this other group has looked at this in the past.
Paulos, this is Bart. Say, I think if... say this issue of workload and capacity became very obvious in the time of the Costa Rica meeting, when say if you look at the current work plan as it is, but it needs to be updated. But at the time, what I've included at the time was a bit of a put the different activities in a project management tool. And so I did some resource loading on that one, and there is a lot of assumptions there. But this is only the work that we knew at the time of the Costa Rica meeting. So it doesn't include these requests which are out there but on which we never respond or do not act. And even, say, if you look at the current work plan and say and the resource loading, you see we overstretched. And that's based a bit on the assumption of, say, that the volunteers have 2 hours a week, which is, and say, working group volunteers have 2 hours a week. But in that case, you already see we are way into the red in the sense of this is a lot of risk and people, it's you overstretching the CCNSO and its membership. And that's with the current number of activities. Is this what you mean, Paulus?
Yes, that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
So
that's already out there, and say maybe that's something we need to discuss. But I think it, although the assumptions are very, very rough, so one of the major assumptions is, for instance, 2 hours a week of every volunteer or working group members, and it's based on some checking after the after I've done this, you can see that's a reasonable guess of say the availability of people. Even then, say if you would include stuff that they say, if you would include all these requests, then there is a complete breakdown, because that's one of the reasons why we don't respond on these requests, is we don't have the bandwidth to deal with them, both in, say, because of our process itself. That's one reason, but the second one is because of the lack of resources.
Okay.
Hey, Bart, this is Fernando. My question is a little bit related to what Paulus asked.
Yeah.
In terms of this external request that we get, like, for example, from ICANN staff or other organizations, can you remind us on how we actually get those requests? Are they sent to a centralized entity within the group and then discuss it with the council or with the community?
It's the way we do it right now is, Bagabi, maybe you should add your part of it as well. The way we do it now is that sometimes the council or also Leslie receives a direct communication, and that is shared with the council. That's one way of doing it. The second way is, there is this announcement on, say, from the public forums, and this is when Gabi starts. This is what Gabi sends out to the community. So there is always, and this is a further refinement and complexity, there is always the trade-off whether individual CCTLDs want to comment and whether it's going to be a CCNSO statement. So what Gabi does is sending it out to the CCTLD community list and the CCNSO members list and CCNSO council list, but this has come out, and then it stops. It's not put on the agenda of at least the CCNSO council, and we can't put anything on the CCNSO meetings, because by the time we have an ICANN meeting, you'll see that the public comment period or the request for the statement has already passed. So it will never hit the CCNSO meetings themselves, and we don't know what individual CCTLD members do or CCTLD registries do. Is that correct, Gabi?
Yeah, it's correct. But I should also add that already then I'm making a selection. I don't send out every... I just send out what I think is of interest for the CCs. There are many things, for instance, compliance issues or registry agreements that don't directly influence CCs or the majority. If I don't see that there's a general interest in the question, then I already make a selection and I don't send it out. But could be of interest for at least some registries, but if they're in the vast minority, then I will not send it out. So there's already selection done. In some cases, I actually receive an email from ICANN staff asking me to specifically send it out to the CC community because it's very important for them to get CC input. They really want CC to see it. But that's actually rare. I mean, in most cases, it's just things that we pick up ourselves.
Okay,
that's roughly how it's done. And then we have, as Bart said, the direct communication from the board asks, send a letter to Bethley or to the council for input.
Yeah, and then you have another one, which is I think a very weird one in a way. It's board resolutions. Say in some board resolutions, the community and individual SOs and ACs are requested to provide input and to set up stuff. And to date, and the way to deal with it is that you should read the board resolutions. And there is no direct communication from the board to the individual SOs and ACs. So either through staff or say it's published. The board resolutions are published, and that's it. Then you have
and
to.
And they're not always published in an easy to find way because I'm trying to find them, but I don't actually know when they're meeting or anything. So it's kind of very hard for me to find them actually. so it's just I try to do it, but.
Yeah,
can't do it regularly.
So that's a source of in principle a source of activities and because of the lack of information, the lack of communication, it's a bit of an ostracism method, I would almost say. The CCNSO doesn't get involved. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter, but it doesn't get involved, so it's not an explicit choice. There's no decision there.
And then, Bart, there are also situations such as recently with the Kieran McCarthy posting that the council feels that something, that we just pick up something randomly, something perhaps was said by about the CCNSO, which wasn't correct in this case, or can be other random things that someone picks up and brings forward to the council. So that's really how it's done.
Yeah.
Hey, Bart, do you think that CCNSO should be involved with such requests? I'm sorry, I think I've missed the first part of your discussion. But perhaps among many other things, it might be smart to not pay too much time and with some secondary or other issues.
No, and this is my personal view. I fully agree, but then you must make that choice.
Yeah, somebody has to make the choice, right?
Yeah,
right.
Or at least that you.
Human resources need to be for that selection process and filtering.
Yeah, and the filtering is fine, and etc. That is fine as well, as long as you are aware this is happening, and as long as we and the CC's community is aware, there is a lot going on, and some of it is interesting, some of it is less interesting, and some will impact us in either category. But we let it go. We don't have the resources. There is no bandwidth. Or there is no, but say just doing it this way and do it randomly, I think that's but that's my personal view. It's not good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's also a sign. Say, if you do it, if you do it consciously, it's also an argument of saying, look, this is. We need to do something about it, and that's why we all together is this. First of all, it needs to be better streamlined in order to allow the CC and other communities to make this conscious decision. But secondly, we're going down a path of creating workload upon workload or request upon request upon request, which in itself, as a result, nothing will happen. So there is this, almost approval by not doing anything. So the train just moves on and moves on and moves on until something really bad happens. And if it's so, look, and I think, but maybe I'm not pessimistic. I think if the study group would already have an overview and provide an overview of what is really happening as a starting point, and based on what is the capacity, you always have the argument of saying, look, what you're doing right now is the CC community at least is not in a position to respond anymore.
Yeah. Hi, this is Victor.
Yeah,
hi.
Hi.
From what I've been hearing for the last 30 minutes, most of the discussion is being talked about the request from internal or external organizations.
Yeah.
And probably because those are the ones that stress us more, because of they have a short time deadline.
Yeah.
In the policy development and in the working groups, you have a long-term discussion and long-term deadline, if it is a deadline. So going back to the external and internal request that stress us with 40 days, 30 days, 60 days, would it be possible to form like different groups that would be like the group if it is a governmental request, an external, completely external from ICANN environment, a governmental request, then we know among all of us, council or non-council, who are the ones that could manage that request because they have more skills on the government side.
Yeah.
It is a request of security, like I remember one that was expressed us about the DNS and search and CERTs and all that stuff. Then we have among all of us other people that are better than us in the technical side, and they could manage that request in a faster and better way than the ones that are not in the technical skills. Even if you do all the process of asking all the councils or in some cases asking all the members. But
Victor?
Yes.
Sorry for interrupting, but I think you're heading down, one of the things which is precisely in the CCNSO guidelines on position papers and statements. That's why we created these guidelines, because the first step is to seek out drafting teams. And a drafting team do the preliminary work, and those people, and this is, at the end of the day, it's some members within council and myself and Gabi and some others, we look for persons who think we are, who have something to do and who have knowledge about the topic. And I think that the best example, most recent example, was the CCNSO council statement on the remit of the security and stability remit of ICANN. And so what you do is we try to involve those people, and this is, again, an obscure process for most of you, but it's we try to involve people who have substantive knowledge and include them in the drafting team, and people who are able to draft very well. So if you combine these groups, then you have preliminary discussions, discuss the topics, and the drafters will try to draft. Say, Becky is very good, and that's why she's the counselor of overviewing it. But if you would go down the path, it's almost a full-time job for Becky, and she has a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So that's one. And another one who's very good at drafting, I know, is for instance, Paul Schindler from Australia. And he is available sometimes, but most of them, all of them, in fact, and all of you, have a full-time job besides being on the council and doing CC or ICANN stuff.
Okay, but now you're talking about individuals instead of groups. You could have a little group, not to form another council or something.
No. But what I try to explain is that you've got these groups, but these groups are, say, these are small teams of four or five people who do the drafting. But at the end of the day, it's these people who are on these drafting teams. Say, drafting takes a long time. It's very time consuming. And you need people who are able to draft properly, because it's a skill in itself. And you need people with substantive and material knowledge. And those are not, most of the time, they're not the same people.
But Bart, on the ICANN board, there are different committees that I think once the board members are selected, they have to, enter one of the committees. And perhaps it would be an idea, as Victor says, that the councillors declare themselves that I'm willing to, deal with technical issues, so that we know we have, because as you said yourself, there's an obscure way to select these people.
Yeah.
So maybe if we have like standing committees or something similar, saying that this is a technical group, this is a government. And so we know that already there is a group of people, both four people, whatever, and they will reply to government issues or security issues or whatever. So already have one, so we don't have this to do this obscure selection.
Yeah. No, or you create, say, maybe, and you say, with all these statements and position papers, etc., you don't want to put the burden all alone on the council. Is creating pools of knowledge, say people
exactly.
would say,
we can ensure that there will be at least two council members or whatever in that group, but. So that it is controlled by the council in some way, but I think that yes, we something like that should be to be created. And I think, Victor, says this roughly what you were talking about.
Yeah,
Victor?
That was the idea. Hello, Julia?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was my idea is to have different groups that you already know who they are and you can get support from them. It's not to give them all the work. It's just to say, okay, these are the best people in this topic. Let's talk with these guys. They will help us, or they will guide us.
In the drafting, etc. Yeah. So it's more creating pools of knowledge or pools of people who were specific. And I think that was one of the recommendations, say, in the first report as well, wasn't it?
Not really, because we were. Yeah, it was related. Let's say related.
Yeah.
It was related. But this is more like to create a kind of task force of different task force of people that are prepared to react if something happens.
Yeah,
in there.
And want to be involved. Yeah.
So because we were more discussing then about the profile of working group members and so on, but this would be more creating pools of or a task force of people that are prepared to react quickly.
Yeah. Because I think that's, but going back, I think the first step is just to recap and is first of all, because we're now focusing very much on these statements, and that is probably where we not say, and that's my fault as well, because we are, as I said, we're not very good at responding. But say working groups itself is also an issue. But this is where we got these pools of expertise, and maybe it's a good thing, say for the follow-up call, say we discuss the dynamics involved, And I think we got a clear action item is to map the dynamics over the past, say, just compare, say, something just before Prague and a year back or something, and how what has increased and what has changed. And then we got the idea of creating, these different groups and ask people, are you willing to contribute at one point, and what is your field of expertise?
Yeah, that would be the idea.
Yeah.
And Bart, to follow up on that idea in terms of creating these different knowledge groups, do we have maybe some categories such as policy? Obviously, I think Victor mentioned technical. Do we need to categorize?
Maybe that's an idea, and you could probably, but this is my guess, my guess is once we have an overview of the type of requests coming in, based on that, say, from the different groups, say, it's very clear you've got some issues with, say, there is a legal component to it, because in some cases there is an IDN component to it, so linguistic, technical, operational. There is technical operational request itself, I know from other SOs and ACs, and there are some, especially what you see upcoming right now is, say, from some of the communities within the GNSO to share the experience of that CCTLDs share their experience with the GNSO because they want to learn from the CCTLDs. So we're getting in more requests to directly communicate, and that's another source we haven't touched upon. And the GNSO start to learn or have learned that the CCNSO have real experience in some of the areas where they have less or want to change their way of operation. So that's one, but that's a more general one. Then you got security and stability, etc. Oh, but that's, I think, going back to your question, Fernando, I think once we have an overview of the request, say, if we add just one column, say, the type of request, then you can see, and you cluster them, then you have an idea of the type of expertise that is needed.
Yeah, no, true.
Does that make sense? Yeah, it does.
Okay. And just trying to keep track of the time, we've only addressed question one, but we did sort of address some of the other questions in terms of a little bit of the prioritizing the work. But I guess I did have one additional question. When a request comes in and you mentioned about a drafting team starting the process and then reaching out to people with expertise in that area. Is that request that came in, is that prioritized before the drafting work team starts working on it?
No.
Okay.
But the question is, say, prioritization is necessary, and say, maybe this is a semantic game. In a way, I would say the CCNSO prioritizes. Prioritization means that it's in fact balancing the workload against capacity. By not doing anything, that's a way of prioritizing as well.
Yeah.
By not making a decision, you in fact decide not to do anything, and that's a way of prioritization as well. So it's more a very implicit way of prioritization.
But hi, Bart. Just to follow that question, if we use the framework you provided, you mean prioritization happen in phase one, the topic identification, not at phase two.
No, but the phase two, this was just a brain dump, as I explained last time. The first thing to do, in order to prioritize, you first need to be aware what is the incoming workload. And I think say, if you look at the table, say, that I produce, say, table one, is an overview of the incoming work. Only once you know or are willing to, once you know what is incoming, you can start prioritization and ask questions. And there are different models for prioritization. So this was just one suggestion. I know the GNSO did an attempt, and I got the material from Glenn. Say the GNSO made an attempt to prioritize as well, and that was a very, very complex way in a way, and so it failed. Because it takes, if you start prioritizing and want to make conscious decisions, it's a very, sometimes it's very, very hard and difficult.
Okay, now I try to understand that prioritization happened as a period that CCNSO tried to identify these topics. So once it's been prioritized, once it's been put into the prioritized list, and then we move on to prepare and make decisions.
It's the other way around, I think, Hong. It's first you need to know what is on your, say, you need to have, and that's the dynamics of the workload or, say, the input or the request, etc. First you need to have an idea what should be prioritized. And only once you have this full list of activities or potential activities, then you can sort out which one you will do, which one you will delay, and which one you'll never do.
No, okay, that's right. First of all, we need rules or principles for prioritization.
Yes, yes. And so prioritization is first to one. Say sometimes it's sometimes prioritization is so difficult that people put in more resources. Because, say, prioritization is, in fact, it's as I said, it's balancing the potential workload against capacity. So it means you have to strike stuff. You will not do stuff which you are requested to do. It's to put it very bluntly, it's learning to say no.
Perhaps one idea would be to direct, if there's a request incoming, and direct it directly to the task force and let them decide.
Which task force?
Let's say that we were talking about earlier. Let's just say that we create pools of knowledge, and we see this is, let's say, technically related. That we let's say that there's a chair of the group. We direct it directly there, and they, you know, recommend whether to put in energy into this or not.
May I make another suggestion? Say this is a suggestion of how to prioritize. May I make the suggestion that we first say, I think we've covered a lot on grounds on say the potential workload. Where is all the work coming from? And that we do, say, in preparation of the next call, that say, we, the Secretariat, provide you with an overview of what we know, and that's going to be very rough. But at least then we have some data, and at the same time, and that's fairly easy to do, say, put in some data on, say, the type of expertise needed, and the third one, whether or not we did respond, or whether or not it was on the council agenda. Because then you have a clear, rough overview of, say, the lack or non-lack, or because we, in that sense, we're still speculating. And then once we got this data and a clear understanding, then, say, we already have this suggestion of, or say, for drafting, at least create, and that's on the capacity side, that's one thing, create these pools of expertise. So that's already a suggestion for, say, especially with regard to these statements, but probably also for working groups. And then based on that one, say we got these two stuff, and then on the next call, when we all have a clear understanding of the substantive workload, look into, say, whether prioritization is needed and the different models for prioritization, so going into table two. Because we don't have to speculate too much on what is needed, and we have a more and clearer understanding of the potential workload that the CC, NSO, and the CCTLD community are facing or have been facing. Is that a way forward?
Sounds good to me, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to move forward. And just being conscious of the time, and I think we're about to run into the next conference call.
We have actually arranged that people are, you know, connected to a different bridge. So if there is this need for more discussion, that's okay.
But I think this is a very nice season. And one of the things, what Gabi, do you think it's an idea, say, in preparation of the call, that we send out the material on the GNSO and the material we've seen on different models of prioritization?
Yeah, I think that's good, and we can also encourage the members of the group if they know of any prioritization models to share it, perhaps.
But let us send this out, say, in preparation of the next call to have a look. So let me explain. So what we've done is we've asked the GNSO staff to share links with the prioritization used or proposed for the GNSO. So that's a starting point. So if you could have a look at it and look into it, and see what you think of it. And the second thing, what we discovered, and that's, I think it's very neat, it's a two-page document on different prioritization models used in health services. And it provides an overview of, say, the upsides and the downsides of different methods and what is needed. And then you have something, say, what is feasible in our environment.
Sorry, Bart, can I just interrupt and say, for those of you who joined this bridge, which are here for the CRI call, could you dial in again and use 6565? Because we're nearly done, but we have set up a different bridge. So those of you who are not supposed to be on this call, please use 6565.
yeah, so I think we've had a healthy discussion on dynamics, and we've got some ideas on how to try to set up this group of knowledge pools, and also I think as Bart mentioned, we're gonna try to get some analysis data prior to the next call so that we can look into the types of requests that we have been getting and what has been done and what has been left out. And also I think this list of links that we're going to get from the that the GNSO has shared with us, I guess, will be helpful for the next call.
Yep.
I guess that took care of one, so we've got many a few more questions to go, but in the meantime, I guess we can continue some of the discussion on the mailing list, and I think the next call is in 2 weeks, right, Gabi?
In 2 weeks, yes, that's 21st of September.
But I think this way of looking at dynamics is already very helpful, because I think most of most of the councillors in the community don't realize how many requests are already, or the workload that we don't do, or the potential workload, the volume of stuff that is coming the way of the CCNSO. That's okay. Yeah,
that's true. A lot of us are not aware of that. Okay. I think that concludes today's conference call. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Gabby, I guess if I could ask, I'll follow up with you in an email to sync up on notes what I took down as far as my notes, and then we can share with the group next week.
That's good.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.